Gang, gang, Charlie Danger.
Oh my gosh. Are we going back to Charlie Baker?
Yes.
It says back to Charlie Baker?
Yes.
All right. Just kidding, everybody. Back to Charlie Baker. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Name, Image, Likeness podcast, the podcast dedicated to covering the NIL world. I'm Wheeler.
And I'm Chrissy, and we serve on the NIL team at VictoryFi. VictoryFi offers software built by our team that monitors NIL compliance and provides education. And we have a platform for student athletes to create merch. That platform is Nilly. Our education platform is Framework. We are so excited to offer both these platforms going into the spring and into next fall. Check them out. You can visit Nilly.io to check out how student athletes can build their own custom merchandise. Or you can build our new website coming soon, FrameworkNIL.com, to learn more about education resources. And I'd like to say happy birthday to producer Palmer. Palm Tree Podco Network of Podcasts is the best podcast network. Happy birthday, Palmer.
You're the best. You're the best. And good job, Chrissy, off the dome there. Kind of switching up that intro a little
Thank
bit,
you.
Highlighting
I'm,
our
I'm a creative genius.
Two products that are starting to get real hot around the
hot
country.
Tamale.
Yeah, they're looking good right now. And we're also looking pretty good here, getting back from the holiday season. It was great. We really enjoyed our time off. We miss you guys a lot, but you know, we're really excited to just kind of get back in the studio and kind of get back into the routine, you know, hit the New Year's resolutions, do all the stuff that'll last. We did a vision board.
We did a vision board. We're ready. We do it every year. We do it for ourselves. We do it for VictoryFi. We've got some big goals.
That's right. We also, you know, right before the break, we attended the National High School Athletic Directors Conference in December. That was a blast.
Yeah.
We sat there. We're next to Riddle. That was cool seeing everybody trying on helmets.
Do you want to share your most interesting story from being there?
Oh, yeah, definitely. So I'm not going to give specifics here. But it's really, this is a high school conference, obviously. And, you know, these coaches are starting to see the trickle-down effects for the states that have allowed NIL. They're starting to see some crazy things, right? So there's this one player who plays basketball and, you know, at a state that allows NIL. And the kid is not a starter. He's good, but like he's not a top five. He's not going to college. Maybe he's just a social media influencer. He's got $300,000-$400,000 followers on TikTok. And so his coach came up and was just like, you know, I don't know what to do. Like our games are getting packed. They're there not just to like to watch the game, but they're actually there to try to kind of mooch off his clout. So you have all these little kids in the area that are coming in and they're doing TikToks during the game and they're a nuisance. I mean, they are paying, which is great. So I don't know, but they're not there for the program to support the team. They're there to benefit their own social media presence, which it's kind of the name of the game right now for a lot of people out there. But yeah, he's experiencing a lot of growing pains. He has no idea what to do.
As we mentioned when we were covering the Georgia High School Athletic Association, when we were going to the meetings, the high school athletic directors are very apprehensive. And it was nice to talk to a good number of them in person and see, you know, what is paining them. And there's just so much education that's needed. So we learned, got a lot of good
intel.
Information. Yeah. A lot of good intel.
Yeah. And verdict's out. If you're confused out there, you're not the only one.
Everybody is.
Everybody in charge of these athletic programs in high schools that allow NIL are in the same boat. They don't know what's going on 100%. They don't know what to expect. It's all brand new and majority of them don't like it.
Yeah. And speaking of being confused, collectives on the college level were confused. If we remember when we covered the big scandal about collectives cannot be nonprofits, right? And so, yes. Like, they had that letter that came out that said it's probably a bad idea to have 501c3 status. And so we had a ton of athletic NIL collectives come back and say, no, we're no longer going to be nonprofit. Well, recently we discovered an article from Sportico, and it talks about how Blueprint Sports, which we have run into at several different events, how Blueprint Sports is navigating kind of those weird waters because their main focus is 501c3 fundraising. So we're just going to read that article because, again, the theme of today is confusion.
Let's hear it. You want to take it away?
Yeah, well, let's get to the news and facts. Are you ready?
News and facts.
the NCAA convention, the biggest waste of our time ever, is taking place this week, and the Division I Board of Directors is scheduled to review Charlie Baker's NIL proposal. We discussed that back, I believe, in December.
Yeah.
Baker's proposal, deemed, for those of you who don't remember, it's called the Project Division One is its code name. It was introduced recently and would permit schools to strike NIL deals with athletes and then offer them an unlimited amount of educationally related benefits. The third concept, kind of viewed as the most radical within his proposal, creates a new subdivision requiring schools to deposit into a trust $30,000 per athlete for half of the school's athletes. Convention documents that they're going to be reviewing this week, it starts this Wednesday, the day this podcast drops, and Palmer's birthday, lay out a potential timeline for the activation process of Project D1, suggesting that this three-part proposal, how it would unfold. The initial focus would be on the first two concepts that permit schools to, one, strike those NIL deals with athletes, and two, offer them enhanced educational benefits. The process around adopting the third, the new subdivision, would follow the adoption of the other two concepts. According to this timeline, the D1 Council, if given authority to further explore the proposal, would produce final recommendations to the board by June of this year, and by August, the board will take action on those recommendations. The timeline targets next January's NCAA convention for actions on the new subdivision structure. The NCAA moves so slow, I find it incredibly hard to believe that this would happen in 12 months.
Yeah, it seems, when you're, your article kind of highlighting it, it says the word radical multiple times, it's not going to be something that moves fast. And
yes,
we've seen NCAA kind of, move at their own pace here. I mean, it's shocking. NIL snuck up on them. Nobody saw that coming. Mm-hmm. So I doubt they're going to do that. I also find it interesting that they're doing $30,000 for half the athletes. Yeah. I don't really know. I don't know the difference. There might be a reason why they're not doing like $15,000 per athlete.
For all of them?
Yeah, I don't know why they're saying that. They're definitely, the numbers are, put out there for a reason like that.
Well, and like we discussed when we were covering this initially, this is going to be so hard for the smaller D1 programs.
Yeah.
Like, they can't, y'all all know we covered when we went to Grambling, like, they have other needs that they need to cover that will really help their athletes over getting $30,000 for half the student athletes on there. Just for example, like a team that we work with a lot.
Yeah. And they're not alone. It's interesting. I mean, I guess options, you got to get money somewhere. You got to find a booster. You got to fundraise, maybe get a collective, even though a collective's not there. So you got to do some kind of a booster program. Mm-hmm. And most of that's already in place. That's not a novel idea. So mm-hmm. they're clearly either tapped out or don't have the boosters for these schools yet to bring in that much dough every year. Options, cutting sports. And then you have the Title IX stuff. You got to cut equal amount of men's and women's sports. So, ultimately, the only way you can make that work for some schools is to eliminate programs.
What do you think he actually wants to happen? Do you think he proposed this radical idea and he's just putting this big splashy thing when he's really just going to ask for, he's like, NCAA is actually doing NIL. Here's this big thing we're going to do. We're going to give everyone money and education resources. And then ultimately it's like, everyone gets a $1,000 scholarship.
Yeah.
What is this going to actually become?
Who knows? We'll keep track of it for sure. All right. So back to Charlie Baker. So, he's still here. So in December, he published a letter to student athletes about his proposal. It was a little bit more simplified than kind of everything we just covered.
I appreciate
it. Yeah. So just kind of my terms, dumb it down a little bit. So again, he's trying to reimagine everything. He wants to, looks like I knew the article already. He's trying to comply with Title IX, invest at least $30,000 per athlete per year into an enhanced educational fund for at least half of the school's eligible athletes. Again, he's working with peer institutions and
excellent. I mean, I do appreciate this has gotten so complicated, just making it clear, these are the things we can do. We would invest the $30,000 per year to do XYZ. We're going to create another subdivision. It is just nice to explain it to the athletes. Okay, mine is short. So the Yay Alabama Collective is said to have begun soliciting donations after a Rose Bowl loss, saying that we need to take action.
Get out and donate. Donate now. It's the time of the season. Poor Alabama. They lost three games.
I don't want to talk about it.
They're not in tonight. So yeah, tonight Michigan's playing right now. Washington's playing right now.
Yeah.
I have no idea who's winning.
Because we're so dedicated to this podcast.
Poor Alabama. Oh, y'all are so sad. All right. So that's pretty cool. But even cooler, On3 recently published an article where they interviewed recruits from the Under Armour All-American game about NIL and how it impacted their recruitment. It's actually pretty interesting. These recruits said that while NIL did play a factor in some of their decisions to commit to a school, and it's obviously in the back of their mind, they still considered other factors like the likelihood of having a winning season as a priority. Another top recruit at the Under Armour All-American game stressed the importance of getting NIL opportunities in writing. So he's all about, you know, making sure that deals are there. It's not just lip service giving them and trusting people near you for guidance, right? So that guidance is there. They need it. It's abundantly clear that even these top athletes at this game who are all going D1, who are all going to have ample opportunities for NIL deals, they still need help and guidance because you got to learn. And lastly, they said agents were really critical to navigating the discussion process with collectives. So again, they had someone help on their behalf, and agents, they've already opened up a few doors for brands when they arrive on campus. So there's stuff in place for them right now. So the networks are being built. They're getting, you know, top guys are getting top agents. So,
you know, if you notice, they're talking about getting agents before they sign with a collective, which is smart, right? Instead of just totally trusting the collective. I think that's a great point that they bring up, because I know a lot of guys and gals just trust that the collective will represent them, and not that anyone's nefarious, but you know, this is solid advice.
I think it's great advice. You're totally right. Sometimes you forget the athletes are the most important thing here, and get your agent up, find someone you can trust. And if you can make the money, make the money.
Yeah. I love it. Cool. To the main segment.
All right.
We'll just kind of switch off reading. And again, we're talking about, you know, as we discussed last year, NIL collectives that take tax shelter as a 501c3. It was maybe a big no-no, so a lot switched out of that status. But there's a pretty good article from Sportico that covers what collectives were doing and also specifically how Blueprint Sports has been navigating that world. We just thought it would be a fun, interesting thing and all the confusion to read over. Okay, so the article says, it was written by Daniel Libet. Last year, the IRS's Deputy Associate Chief Counsel, Lynn A. Camillo, issued a memorandum, as y'all remember, I read that, addressing whether an NIL collective furthers an exempt purpose under Section 501c3. In other words, do these entities that facilitate endorsement deals with college athletes participate in sufficiently charitable work so as to not pay taxes and receive tax-deductible contributions from donors? Camillo's conclusion was, more or less, no. While her memo amounted to legal advice and was not precedential, it sent a shockwave through a nascent industry of collectives, many of which were applying to become or had already received recognition as 501c3 charities. Immediately, a number of collectives ditched their nonprofit aspirations for fear that potential donors would be scared off by the uncertainty. That dynamic presented a golden opportunity for Blueprint Sports and Entertainment, an NIL collective operator, which many of our collective listeners might actually be operating with them, a NIL collective operator with ties to tennis great Andre Agassi and a number of other intriguing connections in business, sports, philanthropy, and more, on the Blueprints and blah, blah, blah about Blueprints co-founder. Along with its chief rival, student-athlete NIL, Blueprint seeks to occupy a risky but financially promising niche within the college athlete publicity rights. One of Blueprint's main selling points is 501c3 fundraising. Specifically, it has a companion charity called BPS Foundation, which allows Blueprint's NIL collective clients to receive tax-deductible contributions. Do you want to read about that?
Yeah. So in effect, the BPS Foundation serves as a donor-advised fund for college sports boosters who want to contribute to for-profit NIL collectives. Instead of making the contribution to the collective directly, they would instead donate to the nonprofit, which would then be responsible for paying athletes served by the collective. Nice little funnel. We continue to believe that we are one of the good guys in the business and are doing this the right way and helping to make sure that There's a sustainable future for it, Blueprint co-founder Rob Sein said in a recent Zoom interview with Sportico. Others aren't so sure. The BPS Foundation's relationship to Blueprint's for-profit company has raised immediate conflict of interest concerns.
Dun, dun, dun.
Setting it up this way should raise concerns of the IRS memorandum at a higher level, if anything, says Phil Hackney, a nonprofit legal expert at the University of Pittsburgh School of Law. Shout out to Chrissy's brother.
Go, Lucas.
Graduated there, Lucas.
Whoop.
According to the foundation's IRS disclosures, it pays Blueprint a service fee of around 10% of any money that ultimately goes to athletes. The BPS Foundation, which receives its 501c3 designation on July 2022, says it ensures that any money it conveys to athletes will go to compensate them for work they do serving other charities. So an example they give is the organization's 2022 tax return says that some of the $1 million in grants it paid out that year went to compensate over 100 University of Arizona football players for doing promotional awarenesses with local police and fire departments in Tucson. All right, Hackney, however, questions whether this form of philanthropic surrogacy is sufficient for it to clear the tax-exempt bar. At the very least, it is operating in a gray area.
Interesting. I mean, I feel like people do this. Like, there's a lot of more private companies that do this that we know of.
Yeah, I mean, well, think about how hard is it to start a collective? We've already seen them come and go. We've seen them already start to, you know, engulf each other and become larger collectives and, you know, combine and a collection of collectives. We even see the top collectives getting together. Like, people are looking for that, the resources, the direction. So someone can come in and for 10% do that. I mean, that seems like a pretty decent deal, right? But like the first people said, like, is that a gray area? Is that questionable? You know, will the 501c3 be around? It's obviously a very lucrative way to generate money or, you know, donations. If you can, all donations are tax exempt. Like, that's pretty sweet, right? You know, a lot of guys are trying to reduce their taxable income. If anybody's in a position to give a lot of money, they probably have a lot of money. You know, you don't see poor people out there trying to do this. So, you know, this is a very wealthy group they're trying to target that can do this. And it's working, right? They're still in operation.
It sounds like, you know, during like the recession when like mortgage-backed securities, they were selling off the risky pieces, like they're selling off the good pieces and a lot of institutions were stuck with like the risky pieces. It sounds like that's what Blueprint Sports is like, holding onto the risky piece. Okay, so there are currently about 224 collegiate NIL collectives, and about 24 of those use Blueprint Sports, and I believe around 14 of them are actually using the full services of Blueprint Sports, which means that they are also using Blueprint Sports to bring staff. So there's a shared services agreement between the BPS Foundation and Blueprint Sports. Sein, who is the co-founder, said that he was listed as president on the shared services agreement and it was approved by the board. He was not running the BPS Foundation at the time. However, in its IRS application for tax-exempt status, a copy of which was provided to Sportico, the foundation specifically identified Sein as the person primarily responsible for managing the foundation. He suggested that this discrepancy is owed to a paperwork error, which I could see that because it's really such a pain doing IRS things. He was referred to as the president, but this was in relation to his position on Blueprint Sports. So that was the error. So Sein's relationship with the company and the nonprofit isn't the only situation to raise conflict of interest questions. So then it kind of goes into other things, which I feel like the whole idea of this article is just that there's a lot of confusion in this company that is making its whole everything about itself, the fundraising arm, is even having trouble with this.
Yeah. So Sportico, they did a really good in-depth article in this. You guys just read it, check it out. It's a long article. We covered the high points here. But again, it's, you know, even the companies who are experts at this are still, you know, going through the process, right, of dealing with the IRS. The IRS is, they're tough one to deal with.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And truly, like, getting into this, it's pretty interesting. It's talking about bills being introduced. It's just like, I feel for them. It's such a pain. Do you have any other thoughts on like trying to navigate these? We really just wanted to bring this up because we know that a lot of y'all who are listening are trying to navigate these waters, whether or not it's 501c3 status or maybe high school NIL. Could be any number of things. It's this ever-changing world, and we're always getting different guidance, even like the NCAA coming out with this new proposal. So we just wanted you to know that you're amongst friends. Everyone's confused. Anything else that you have to add?
No, this is it's a really great article, but I'm looking forward to hopping in the Nillies.
Let's do it. Let's go to the Nillies. Okay, so I'll go first. Tennessee's Squirrel White, we've reported on him before, has a new NIL deal with the Nashville Predators as part of the NIL deal with Nashville's NHL franchise. And to promote the Preds Tennessee College Night, White will participate in signing day with an autograph session and meet and greet. Perfect NIL deal example.
That's a great NIL deal. And the Preds are awesome. They're hot right now. Yes. So that's a great collab.
You have a cool hat that says Smashville.
Smashville.
Yeah, I bought it for you. Yeah. It's pretty great.
So, Iowa Hawkeyes player Jay Higgins and Sebastian Castro took part in the Cheez-It Flexin' section experience at the Citrus Bowl. Fans also got to participate by getting cheesy makeovers that included orange hair dye, cheese-scented massages. That's nasty.
That's disgusting.
That's just disgusting. And more at the pregame fan fest. Those who got the craziest makeovers had the chance to win on-field VIP cheese seats in the Flexin' section.
A tongue twister. That's cool.
I'm the cheesiest coach. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening today. If you'd like to learn more about Victify's platform, visit Nilly.io. If you'd like to learn more about Framework Compliance Platform and financial literacy courses, visit victoryfi.com. If you'd like more of our favorite recent Nillies from across the country, follow us on social media.
Yes, we post quite often. I have not been posting as much during our break, but I'll be back at it. You can follow us on Instagram at Name Image Likeness Podcast. If you want to follow everything we have in one place, you can follow our drift. And please remember to rate and review the podcast. Also, we are super proud. We got some big plans for 2024. We're coming out with bi-weekly podcasts because we're just so busy. We're so busy. So yeah, we're excited. We'll see y'all in 2 weeks.
Take care.
Name, Image, Likeness is part of the Palm Tree Podco network of podcasts. The show is produced and edited by Anthony Palmer. Thanks to the team at VictoryFi for creating the content for this week's episode.